Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And we have a very special in-studio guest. We call him Flyin' Brian. Brian Ayers, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Dave.
I love that name, Flyin' Brian.
Well, thank you.
Look at that. That is just incredible. You bring your jet wherever you go. We just heard it take off, and we're not on it.
There you go.
That is so incredible. Of course, your van is phenomenal. People need to see your van. It's also on your website, by the way.
Yes, on outtodry.com.
That is so, so cool. Now, you, of course, are the owner of Drynamic Solutions. Not dynamic, even though you are dynamic, but it's called Drynamic Solutions. Water mold removal. Also, that you do some other things, which I think is really interesting. Home health audits for asthma and allergies.
Yes.
What does that entail? I'm sort of curious about that because everyone seems, not everyone, but a lot of people have asthma and allergies out here.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing with asthma and allergies is the triggers in the air, inborn, indoor air pollutants.
Yeah.
To go into a house and actually do a checklist.
Oh.
It's a thorough checklist as far as, is anybody in the house smoke? Is there any mold or is there any fungus growing? And then there's other contaminations as far as, what kind of, how often do you have a hardwood floors or do you have carpet? And it makes a big difference whether you have carpet or hardwood floors. Now, a lot of people go one way or the other with it. Some people will say that hardwood floors are better because it does not trap the doesn't hold the dirt into the house. But the problem is that they did a survey
some type of study or
something? I'm sorry. Yeah, they did a study in Scandinavia, actually, where they switched over a lot of the properties to hardwood solid surface, and they found that it actually increased the asthma and allergies activation because what happens is the carpet acts as a filter. And so the thing that you have to keep in mind with carpet is you just have to make sure that it's maintained and thoroughly vacuumed regularly.
Wow. See, that's interesting. I would never have guessed that. That's good to know. So I guess on the hardwood floors, though, you'd want to just make sure it's clean all the time.
It's clean, and that's the problem with the hardwoods is that, you know, every time you have dust on the floor and whatnot, and when you take a step, it puts it back into the air. And so, like, you know, when the sun is shining and you see the particles in the air, that's you know, prevalent when you know, with hardwood floors, taking us, you know, just moving around.
Right. Well, that's interesting. You know, it's funny because, you know, Arizona long ago used to be a place to come if you had to get rid of allergies, basically.
Yep.
Do you know what happened?
I mean, well, the big thing, it's kind of funny because when I was about 7 years old, I lost my best friend to Arizona. I'm from Chicago, South Chicago, and I lost my best friend to Arizona.
Did people say we're sorry to hear that?
Yeah. Well, I lost my best friend because he moved because his older brother had asthma, and Arizona being the place to go if you have if you need to relief from asthma or allergies. So they went off, and you know, obviously at 7 years old, they didn't have internet or anything like that to keep in touch. So but the big thing is, like, with the population of Phoenix growing, is that people, you know, a lot more trees and plants. And I mean, even when you look at Google Maps, when you look at Phoenix, it's green.
Oh.
You know, if you look at the surrounding areas, you can tell where people live and people don't live, you know, in the community. So
I heard they moved the desert to Chicago is what happened. Well, that's incredible. So now so many people have allergies. So this could be good. A home health audit for asthma and allergies. That's something people should take advantage of. The other thing, you know, I think is, and we'll touch on it a little bit later, is, you know, with bed bugs. I mean, you have this thing that might be the solution.
Well, right. What we do is we have a three-step process, and if for higher people who are more sensitive, now we don't focus mainly on bed bugs. The thing that we focus on is dust mites. Dust mites being the number one, the number two causing thing of triggers is dust mites. And so what we do is we have a heat process where we'll go in and we'll heat the rooms to 125 degrees for a set time. And that will kill all the dust mites, all the eggs. And in doing so, If we increase the levels, we'll actually kill the bed bugs, which is a big thing. And it's obviously it's organic, it's pesticide free, which you know does not work for bed bugs anyway. So it's again, it's a way to be a little bit more conscious of your surroundings and to take care of the things that are causing the dust mites. But like again, it does kill bed bugs, kills cockroaches, kills termites, kills anything just because of the heat. The added heat will kill anything. There's a thermal death limit. So.
And it's very important to plan that with a fondue party because at night you could have a lot of good fondue, right?
Yeah, really good fondue.
See, that's very cool. So that's really important because, you know, on the news these days you see tons of stuff on bed bugs. It's like everywhere, they say.
Yes. And it's a problem that's growing just because it spreads so easily because, you know, someone might stay at a hotel and then it passes along just through their suitcase. Going to the next hotel, going to the friend's house, and it just picks up and travels. It's not, you know, it has no rhyme or reason. So
what do you have you heard anything about hotels? Like if you go to Las Vegas, or you know, of course, a lot of hotels out here. Are they proactive in stopping this?
I think they're starting to be. I think they're going to have to be because right now, I guess the big thing in New York, you know, you stay at some of these larger hotels, paying $350, $450 a night, and people are coming home with bed bugs, with bites and you know, and so that's something that I think that they are going to have to do. Obviously, I'm not in the hotel chain business, but yeah. It is something that I think that is definitely important for them.
Well, I would think so because, or else they'll shoot themselves in the foot because then it could create, you know, less travel, you know, people saying, hey, I don't want to stay at any hotel.
I've heard of stories of people, you know, staying in their cars. They'd rather just sleep in their car on the side of the road than actually go into a hotel.
Wow, really?
So that's, yeah, I mean, just, you know, over-the-road travelers and salesmen, they'd rather just sleep in their own car.
Oh, so it could increase, well, you got the fuel issue. I was going to say, you know, those big trailers, maybe not.
Yeah.
When fuel goes up, it seems to decrease
maybe
sales.
Maybe not, but.
Well, that's sort of interesting. So that's really interesting. You're really involved in quite a few things, which is important. But let's see who you really are. We got a surprise guest coming in. I'm just kidding. He's thinking, who the heck would come over here? Anyway, you're married for 15 years. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much.
That is great. And two daughters.
Yep.
That's really cool. But there's something that really struck my attention, actually, is one of your goals is to be married to your wife the day you die. Tell us about that.
Well,
that's an interesting, I think it's a credit. It's sort of refreshing, right, Kurt? I mean, it's refreshing. See, you got an applause.
Thank you.
Because these days with divorce so prevalent, you know, a lot of people might turn that sentence around and says, yeah, my number one goal is to be married to my wife the day I die, and I hope I die tomorrow. So,
well,
you know, that so that's
well, you know, it's funny because there's two things in that goal. One of them means that I have to die before my wife.
Oh, hey, that was good.
So that's,
well,
not, that's not necessarily a positive.
Was that
thing.
Negotiated?
No, that wasn't negotiated, but I did get married when I was 19. And when I got married, I figured I knew I was making the right choice. And so I just wanted to make sure that when the day I got married, I said to myself that I was going to be married to her the day I die.
Wow. So, you know, even though we have a dating show and this isn't the dating show, but I am curious because I think some of the listeners would right now go, oh, Brian, you are right. Most of the women listeners are going to say, are you too bad you're not on the market?
Yeah.
So what is the secret to that? I mean, what's the secret to that statement to wanting that longevity and that commitment?
Well, one of the things that's kind of funny is that I think the advice on that changes every year.
Oh.
So every year I come away with another reason why it's so important or why it's what it takes. Depends on the mood I'm in, I guess, if you ask me what's important. But it changes. I mean, there's things being... oh boy, swallowing your pride, I think, would have to be one of the largest one. Learning to let things go.
Mean say yes, dear?
Not so much yes, dear, because then you kind of lose yourself if you do that too often.
Yeah.
But the point is to, you know, to compromise.
Oh, there you go. Compromise.
There you go.
That's important, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very important.
Really important in anything in life, I would say. Business too, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, I would say so. Now, a couple other things that really show who you are. I like what you said there's two things really of utmost importance to you, is to be thankful every day when you wake up, and really be very thankful to, you know, thank the Lord every night for allowing you to have a wonderful day. Tell us about that. How did you develop that philosophy? That's very positive.
Well, the first one I kind of took off a saying that I heard from someone say one time, is I'd rather be looking down on the grass than looking up at it. Mm. So that's kind of where I came up with that one, is every day when I wake up, I'm thankful that I woke up one more day.
Nice. A gift, almost.
Is a gift. Every day is a gift. And then the second one was how to look at your life more positive. So when I go to sleep at night, I always thank the Lord, and I you know, thank Him for the wonderful day I had. No matter what troubles I had during the day, what problems that came up, I always, you know, it was a wonderful day. And look at it that way, and that really puts things in perspective. I had an experience actually 3 weeks ago, and I've passed this on to my daughter. Me and her went to the gym, and we're playing basketball. She's 13 years old, and we were working on her game, and there were two young boys about her age in the basketball court. I asked them if they wanted to play, and my daughter said, "Oh no, no, no!" You know, she didn't want to. So anyway, so we ended up playing the game, a pickup game with them, and we had a great time. And it wasn't until that night, later that night when I went to sleep, that I realized that was one of the best moments that I've had in my life.
Wow.
Just because I had so much fun with my daughter, and I really had a chance to connect with her. And it was because I look back every night at that. It made a really big impact on my life. So
what you're saying is people can create moments of joy.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Rather than just accept what's coming to them.
Well, it depends on how you want to view it. I mean, every experience can be a hardship, or it can be a learning experience, and how you take that motivates you and pushes you forward.
See, I like that. And, you know, so you're really deliberately taking charge of how you view an experience, which can affect your own emotional state, certainly affects your kids, and they're going to learn from you to look at the best, not the worst.
Oh, definitely.
I like that. The other thing I think, you know, to wake up every morning and be thankful, and you said you sort of view it as a gift. A lot of people view it as a burden, and some people view it as a gift. That's just another wonderful way to select and choose how you're going to see something.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I mean, I like that. That is pretty good. More people should have that philosophy, and I think they'll be happier, because doesn't this lead to happiness?
I'm always working on it.
You look pretty happy. You should see his van. How do we get people to see your van? It's on your website, right?
Yeah, you can go to flyingbrian.com.
Is that what it is?
Yep. flyingbrian.com.
Wow. Also, dynamicsolutions.com. You have
Correct.
Two of them?
Yep.
Or two
two websites.
Domain.
Two webs. Oh, of course.
Your van is great. In fact, it's out here. People should view it. But we'll just check it out on the website for now. Now, you were in the Air Force. Trained a nuclear missile maintenance?
Yeah, I was trained to work on nuclear missiles. And that was an interesting job career field. Didn't really lead too much. But.
Wow. So you never wanted to pursue that?
Well, nobody was really hiring for that other than the government.
Remember that? What was that movie? Kurt's going to know. Where the guy was on the atom bomb and Dr. Strangelove or something. Mm. Remember, he was so passionate about his job. He was like a guy from Texas or something. You ever see that?
I've seen clips of that movie.
Yeah, it was funny.
Before my time.
He jumped on the bomb and said, like he was on a horse, and he went down with the bomb, a nuclear bomb, I might add. Now, here's something interesting about you. You actually built your own house from the ground up?
Yes.
How did you know how to do that?
A lot of reading.
You read to build? That's incredible.
Well, I helped my dad build a house when I was 14, and I say that loosely because I just watched him do a lot of the things. And then from there, when I, was about 25, 26, I had a customer of mine who, unfortunately, her husband had passed away, and she had some magazines of a home building, and so she passed them on to me, and I just read them, front to back over and over and over again until I had a good knowledge and base where I was comfortable enough contracting out and building my own house.
That is amazing. You are a determined young man.
Well, yeah, like I said, when I set my mind on something.
Yeah, that is phenomenal. And, of course, let's see, Chicago. Are you a Chicago Blackhawks fan?
Yes, I am.
Wow, they're on a little streak. They're playing pretty well.
They need to.
Yeah, I think they're in the playoff position now. They're, I think, what, four maybe, I don't know, four or five or three, something like that. And our Coyotes, oh, you're a big Coyote fan, right?
Well, you know.
Are they still going to be here? Are they here right now? Did they move to Winnipeg? We should update everyone.
It's going to be like, what was it, the Indianapolis Colts, where you wake up and the buses are leaving.
I heard about that. That'd be horrible, wouldn't it?
When they're leaving Baltimore, yeah.
I mean, that's traumatic for any city. And then, of course, I did, as an update, there are reports that the city of Glendale is filing a lawsuit today against the Goldwater Institute, as well as part of some of their board members. So they're going on the offensive. So the saga continues. 2 years ago, they had a battle in court. Now they're in court, or allegedly going to be in court again today. Wow. Talking about, you know, going to a hockey game and a court battle came about. I mean, right? That's not a funny joke. But they used to say, you know, you go to a fight and a hockey game broke out. You've heard of that.
Yes, that's
like this. Anyway, when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Brian Ayers, owner of Dynamic Solutions, and we will have more discussion on some of his philosophy as well as what he does, and we'll be right back.
Are you able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage, all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use, in real time, with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. Special in-studio guest, owner of Dynamic Solutions, Brian Ayers. Now, Brian, off there, we talked a little bit about what you can do for people. And you were talking about water heaters. I mean, one of the things that you see a lot of are when water heaters break. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, with the water restoration, the biggest thing that we have is here in Arizona, obviously we don't have a lot of rain. But we do have our days, is broken water lines and broken water heaters. And the biggest thing that people can do for prevention is the average water heater is lasting about 10 years here in Arizona, and it depends on how hard your water is. The thing is, most people wait 12 to 15 years to replace their water heater. So that gives you about 2 to 5 years of not knowing when it's going to break. And I can hear from, like you even said yourself, my water heater's in my garage, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
The problem is that there's no pan underneath it to pour it out to a drain. So when it does leak, it leaks into the back wall, which goes into your house.
So is there things you can do? Is have a pan or some other device?
You can have a pan installed. More than likely, though, if you're going to go through the expense of having a pan installed, and I'm not a plumber here in Arizona. So if you're going to have a pan installed at that point, if your water heater is over 5-6 years old, have your water heater changed out.
Oh, okay. Now, do you do anything with that, or do you work with
people? No, I do not. I have people that I work with that do water heaters, but that is not something that I do. It's just something, like I said, for prevention for people, just to keep an eye on it. When, you know, like I said, if you wait 15 years, 12 years to replace your water heater, they only last, you know, about 10 years here in Arizona.
You know, I noticed on your website, I believe it was like, Yeah, available 24/7.
Yes.
I think you should give your number out because you just never know. I mean, people say right now, no, I don't need anyone. Well, that's the point. It's like, you know, if it's 3 in the morning and something breaks, who are you going to call? Not Ghostbusters.
Right.
So, unless there's ghosts in your house that did it. So you should give your number out because it's good to have it just handy, right?
Right.
So what's your number?
623 out to dry.
Wow, 623 out to dry.
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty cool. 623 out to dry. That's a nice thing. Now, what happens? What's the process? They call and then do you have an answering service or something?
No, I answer myself, and or someone in the office answers.
Really?
When it's off hours, then it's me. But yeah, so we'll do emergency response. We'll try to make it there within an hour. That is our goal, is to be there within an hour. Not that 1 hour is going to make a difference one way or another as far as the damage, but it does seem to make a big difference to the homeowner.
Yeah.
And that seems to be, you know, obviously you wake up at 2 a.m, you put your foot down and you have water in your house. You don't know what's going on. You know, you're kind of upset. You know, you're trying to get a good night's sleep, and this is stopping you every which way from getting a good night's sleep. So it really does help just to be there. And the good thing that I do is, you know, I'll talk to the homeowner and let them know how things are going, what the process is from there. Normal processes, we'll come out, we'll evaluate the situation. If you haven't already shut the water off immediately, we'll help you. You know, we'll have plumbers that you can contact that will get out there that night 24/7, who will take care of it.
Oh, so you're like an orchestra leader, too. You get people coming and going, right?
We do. But lots of times, if we can just shut the water off, and then we can process the situation. And sometimes we'll say, just wait till late in the morning and then call a plumber, because it's not going to change one thing or another, and you might as well save the expense other than having a plumber come out at 3-4 in the morning. But I've had that happen before, so.
And insurance, usually it's insurable, some of the stuff, or how's that?
Any broken water line within the house is 100% covered. The only time that it's not covered is if it's something that you ignore. In other words, if you know it's leaking and you don't do anything about it. Other than that, it's 100% covered. As a homeowner, you have the obligation of due diligence. In other words, you have the requirement to actually go in and get it taken care of as quickly as possible. To get some process started, even before you contact the insurance company, because the insurance company, they want to write a check for as little as possible. So sometimes with water, the longer you wait, the more damage that occurs. And so that's why it's always very important. I don't know if you've heard of, you know, people coming home from 2-week trips and their entire living room's in water and mold and whatnot.
That's horrible. You've seen that, huh?
Oh, I've seen that quite often, yes.
So what are some of your top stories that you can share with us that you've seen?
The closest one that I have is the closest to me. I would say is I had a she's now a friend of mine, actually, Chris Huber. She contacted me. She found me on the internet, and she contacted me, told me that she had water in her basement, and she wasn't. It was her summer home, and so I went over there, and she had 6 inches of water in her basement, and this was her father's house, who had passed away. And everything in her house, in her basement, was underwater. I mean, you know, it was flowing when I showed up.
Right.
So we did have to pump it out. And, you know, she's out of state. And so I had to, you know, talk to her over the phone and let her know what was going on, you know, almost minute by minute, just so that way she was comfortable. Because she got on the airplane the next day.
Wow.
And you know, flew home.
How did she know there was water being out? Well,
she had actually one of her friends went over there and checked on the place. And when she went down in the basement, she had found the water. And so, you know, that was one of those situations where, you know, it was one of those wow moments for me where I really realized what was really important to her. And it wasn't necessarily, you know, she didn't so much care how I was drying it out. She just wanted to know what I was doing to, you know, to make her. And I also had to make her feel better.
So it's really, you're sort of like maybe a psychologist, a friend, all it rolled up in one. You want to give comfort because people, I think they can panic if they see water. They don't know where it's coming from, and they go, "Is it my house going to, you know, wash away?"
And that's just it. The funny thing is people have, when you pre-address the situation, people have this mentality of, "Oh, I'll get a new computer, I'll get a new TV, no big deal." Until it's your house, until it's your personal possessions underwater, and knowing that, you know, your insurance company might not pay for your you know, the cost you can't replace something that's memorable to you. And in fact, with Chris, we came across her father's World War II field chest with his field Bible in it, and it was underwater. And it had been there, you know, it was probably underwater for 3-4 days before we found it. And she basically set it aside and was going to, she herself was there at this point, and she said it was gone. She wanted to throw it in the dumpster. I took it, I dried it out, and I gave it to her a couple days later as a gift for her. And she was, you know, that's something that, you know, that was one of those, another wow moment for me where you really realize what an impact someone's personal possessions have in their lives.
Well, especially that, if it's her dad. I mean, yeah. You know, you got to look at it, you know, from a sentimental point of view and a father-daughter relationship like that. So you're much more than just someone coming in.
You really
are their best friend almost.
Well,
at that point.
It's funny you say it because I talked to Chris. This happened 2 years ago, and I'm in touch with Chris. Every 2-3 months we talk. In fact, I talked to her last week for an hour. I talked to her brother for an hour.
you are best friends.
Yeah, we're really good friends. And you know, she's retired. She's a retired doctor.
Oh.
And so, yeah, I mean, it was just, we're friends. So.
And speaking of best friends, the listeners may be interested that you brought this up. You lost your best friend to Arizona at age 7. Did you ever get reunited?
No, you know, that's funny. I was thinking about trying to find him on Facebook. Or one of those other social sites, just to see if I could find him and see if he's even in the area.
Wow! So and that was that was a while back, probably 27 years ago or so.
Yeah, about that.
Something like that. Yeah, so anyway, Brian, can you believe we're at the end of the show? Give out some contact information. How do they get in touch with you?
623 Out to Dry would be the easiest way to contact me 24/7. And then we also have flyingbrian.com and dynamicsolutions.com.
So 623 Out to Dry.
Yes.
I love that. That's enough letters and enough numbers, I guess. 623 Out to Dry.
It was one too many, but it works.
But it does work. Well, Brian Ayers, thank you so much. Everyone get on Brian's website. His van is phenomenal. You won't believe the beauty of the artwork that you put on your van. It's phenomenal. And thank you once again. That's 623 Out to Dry. Call Brian. We call him Flying Brian. And stay tuned for the Entrepreneurial Spirit. We have a very special guest, Wyatt and Terry Earp. You won't believe it. Actors, producers, playwrights. And we'll be right back. This is 1010 KXX.